week we are going through the book of Ephesians. Last week we went through God's grace from the beginning to the end. So we are going to continue on that topic, God's grace from the beginning to the end. And Ephesians chapter 2. We saw last week very clearly the grace of God in our salvation. And last time we saw that works is not the way to salvation, but the works is the result of salvation. The fruit of our salvation is our conduct, our behavior, how we live, how we conduct ourselves, how we serve God, how we worship God. That's the fruit of our salvation. And even witnessing, reading the Bible, praying, everything is a result of salvation. The way to salvation is not the way to do witnessing. We got to witness so we can go to heaven. We got to read the Bible so we have to go to heaven. That's not it. We read the Bible because we love God, because it's a love that is in us. He has given us. So that we need to understand that. It's not a burden for us to read the Bible. It's not a burden for us to pray. It's not a burden to serve God. It's not a burden to go and witness to somebody. But it's a joy. It comes naturally for the Christian. Now, there are many churches that believe we are saved by grace alone. Yet, they add works which must do to attain salvation. That's why there are so many calls, so many other people who call themselves Christians, but there are a lot of steps they had to do to go to heaven. You got to do these things to go to heaven. And now, if you read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 13, we are going to cover by God's grace, 11 to 13. Verse 11 says, "Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who you are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcisions made in the flesh by hands. And that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Now here, Apostle Paul, here he reminds us of a past. It's very important for us to remember our past. It doesn't mean we are going to live by what we did in the past. But we need to be remembered that the transition, so important. And when we remember our past, the one thing we had to one thing we know is our miserable condition in the past. It's not that, oh man, when I was in my before Christ days, I had a great time, a wonderful time. That's not the way to see. We had to see the pleasures of sin is not as a friend, but as an enemy. And we need to see, but you know, a lot of times when you see people giving testimonies, when they present their past, it looks like there's so much enjoyment in there, instead of so much, so much weeping and seeing what they have done. And here, we need to understand our past from the greatest, our miserable condition in the past, from the greatest to the least, we see it is by God's grace alone. From the greatest person to the least person. His goodness, apart from God's goodness, there's no goodness in us. Absolutely no goodness. Psalm chapter 16, verse 2 says, "O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you." Now, Apostle Paul does not want us to forget the subject and begins with verse 11 saying, remember, remember. So, we need to remember. You know, a lot of times we remember memories. We all have memories that we will never forget. Since we were little children, we remember some things that really so significant to ourselves that we will remember those precious things until we die. But the greatest thing that you should never forget is the eternal life, what Christ did for you. That's why Paul says, remember. The Bible says, Jesus said, until I come, remember my death and take this cup, have communion, remembering what he has done. So when we look at our past, remember how you are so evil, so wicked, so sinful. And now, seeing what Christ has done for you, remember that remembrance of what Christ has done for you, the cross, should humble us. It should humble us and magnify the grace of God. It magnifies the grace of God and brings humility to the sinner. Seeing that I did not do anything. I was living in sin. It was God who sought me. First, he wants to remember our condition before. Note the language he used in these three verses. Very carefully learn the type of words he used here. He uses, this is our past. He uses Gentiles in the flesh, uncircumcised, without Christ, alienated, strangers to the covenant of promise, no hope, and without God. What do you see when you see this type of language being used? You see nothing but a negative picture. Nothing good. There's nothing positive in that when we remember the past. How we live, it shows absolutely everything negative. So it shows our lost condition. As he says, therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. Now, what does that mean? Reminds us that we were Gentiles in the flesh, uncircumcised. Gentiles in the New Testament means not Jewish, but pagans, heathens. Only the pagans and the heathens, they do not worship the living God. And Paul reminds us of our state and our condition, that we were Gentiles in the flesh. The flesh was in control. Whatever the flesh wants, desires, we lust after the flesh. Whatever my flesh is wills, I will. My ambition is for that. Meaning we were carnal. Meaning we were ignorant, blinded. We did not know God. We fulfilled the lust of the flesh as we walked after the flesh. That means whatever my flesh desires, that's what I wanted. That's what I was going after. I've been tempted after the flesh. Now, the outward sign of the Jew and the Gentile is what? What is the outward sign? How do you know that this person is a Jew and this person is a Gentile in the Old Testament? What is the outward sign? The outward sign was circumcision. where God told Abraham to circumcise the Jews. So circumcision, well, Paul says here also, who are called uncircumcision, what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. What does that mean now? Maybe we were circumcised in the flesh. Maybe there are people who are born into a religion and circumcised when they were small by somebody's hand. Maybe they were circumcised. Maybe there are a lot of Jews who are circumcised. But does it mean that they are saved? Circumcision by the hand? No. Maybe we thought we knew God as we were born into a religion. Baptized when we were small. Circumcised when we were little. We followed the traditions and the religion. Followed the way of a church that we have to do certain things and need to be saved. You know? Circumcision is of the heart. Remember how David in Samuel 17:26, how David, when he was coming after Goliath, when he was going to fight against this big giant Goliath, how David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And here there are a lot of people who are born into a religion, born into this country doesn't mean you're a Christian. Born into a Christian home doesn't mean you're a Christian. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Just like somebody said, like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. So, going to, you know, it's, you can follow the doctrines of the church, traditions and the teachings of men instead of what the Bible says. There are people who worship idols, images, saints. They look outwardly that they look like they are serving God. They have an outward circumcision, but inwardly they are in the flesh. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness to him. We were like that. That's why you can say, well, you know, how many times we have even attended people who come and say, come and visit my church. Or maybe somebody tried to witness to a person, tried to tell about the Lord. We didn't get it. It's like foolishness. This is really absurd. So the Bible says the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness to him. John chapter 4 verse 24, Jesus said, God is Spirit and we must worship God in spirit and in truth. There are so many people who worship God in the flesh. If God is Spirit, you have to worship Him in the Spirit. How can you worship Him in the Spirit if you do not have the Holy Spirit in you? You can't. Then you have a religion, not a true relationship with Christ. And Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are Spirit and truth and life. John chapter 6 verse 63. He says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and truth and life. That means there are a lot of people who even can quote scripture sometimes, who know a little bit about the Bible. But I'll tell you, but to the Christian, true Christian, these words, this word of Christ become a part. Just like Jesus, who is God and came down from heaven. And what did He do? He dwelt among us. In the same way, the Word of God, the Word of God becomes part of us. And it is life. That means it changes us daily, the Word of God. Romans 8 verse 6 says, carnal minded, to be carnal minded is death. That's what we were. But to be spiritual minded is life. That's the difference. We need to remember those things. Remember what Christ did. We were carnal minded. We were on our way to hell. Death. Now, spiritual minded is to have life. Romans 8:14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God, right? If we are led by the Spirit of God, then we know that we are His children. And how do we know? Because verse 16 says, Romans 8:16 says, He bears witness with our spirit. God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Now, circumcision of the flesh is opposed to the heart or the spirit. It means carnal. Circumcision of the flesh doesn't mean anything. Outwardly, you're circumcised doesn't mean that you're a Christian. It doesn't mean that just because you're a Jew, it doesn't mean that you go to heaven. Just because you're baptized doesn't make you go to heaven. Romans chapter 2 verse 29, Apostle Paul said, Romans 2:29, is a Jew who is one outwardly, right? No. What is it? Inwardly. See, it's not outwardly, inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, who praises it not from men, but from God. So it's an inward circumcision. Okay? That means we are given a new heart. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Colossians 2:11. Him you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. What do you see in Ephesians? With hands. People who are in the flesh. With hands. No. Without hands. By putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So, we were circumcised without hands. Not by a man. Somebody's hand. But by the Spirit of God. The effect is that we put off the sins of the flesh. And Colossians verse 12 says, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised through faith in working of God who raised him from the dead. Oh, sorry. Is that the one I'm saying? Yeah. Now, you were then in verse 12, Ephesians 2:12, 12 says, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So he says that you were without Christ. Think about being without Christ. Think about it. Being without Christ. What a terrible state is being without Christ. To be without Christ is to be with Satan. To be without Christ is to be with Satan and his demons. Oh, that looks so ugly, doesn't it? But it doesn't look that way. Because people who are without Christ, sometimes they look very nice, innocent, good looking. Doesn't look that they look like demons or Satan or anything like that. Of course not. That's why Satan will never want to show that. You know, one of the most Satan before was called Lucifer. And Lucifer, God created Lucifer, and Lucifer was so beautiful. He was one of the most magnificent, beautiful angels where God created. He was so beautiful. the Bible says. It's beauty. And here we see that the New Testament says that Satan comes as an angel of light to deceive people. He doesn't come with the two horns and the ugly face and nothing like that. Nobody would like him then. But deception is that he comes like an angel of light. That's deception. And here, being without Christ is to be with Satan. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. You can read it. That he who is not with me is against me. He who is not with me is against me. That means either you are with Jesus, for Jesus, and you cannot stay neutral there. Either you are for him or against him. There's no neutrality there. And you cannot say, I'm in the middle. I just want to play both sides. No way. If you are either you are with Jesus, and if you are with not for Jesus, you are against him. And who is against Jesus? You know, the demons and the Satan. You know, when we go witnessing, we tell people that we are here to present the good news of Jesus Christ, and that to give you hope of a new life, and we show them there's a way to heaven. And the majority of the people, you know what they say when you tell them, we come here to present Jesus Christ, the gospel, good news, a way that you can go to heaven. You know, I talked to a lot of people, about 80% or even more, their answer is, no, thank you. You know that? No, thank you. If somebody wants to give you $1 billion, would you say, no, thank you? Jesus went to the crowd, and he cried out, saying in John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38, Jesus said, John chapter 7, 37 and 38. Said, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of the heart will flow rivers of living water. I tell you, see verse 52. They answered and said to them, are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has risen out of Galilee. And everyone went to his own house. People are not thirsty today. Many will say, no, thank you. Meaning, I don't want to go to heaven. No, thank you. Meaning, I don't want eternal life. No, thank you. Can you believe it? What can compare $20 billion or $60 billion or $100 billion to eternal life? Yet people say, no, thank you. It's something, sometimes I'm baffled with that answer. Sometimes I'm shocked. I don't know what to say. No, thank you. No, thank you. It's amazing. No, thank you. You know, when people say no thank you, about 80 or 90% of the people say no thank you, I don't want to go to heaven. I don't want eternal life. The first thing that comes to my mind is a story of the rich man and Lazarus, the poor man. The rich man in Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31, you see the whole story as Andy read that. The rich man did not thirst for Christ when he was on this earth because he was rich. He had everything. So why should he need Christ? When you have everything, I don't need Christ. So he was rich, he was comfortable, he has all the goods and the things in the world. But I'll tell you, the rich man died, just like everybody else. You know, one thing that Satan will never bring to our mind is, you know, there are a lot of great people. You know, you find an encyclopedia and see all the great people and you see a great biographies of great people. But never tell you that you are going to die. It will never bring to your mind. It's always, you're going to live. Right? You always remember of tomorrow, day after tomorrow, and the next, you know, next month or few years later that, and always, those are the things that brings us to remembrance. Doesn't ever remind us that we are going to die. So the rich man who had everything, he died. Because death is for everybody. Nobody is exempted. So when the rich man died, he was, where did he go? He went to hell. And what was hell like? Hell was, he was tormented in hell with fire. The poor man ate the crumbs of the rich man. The rich man ate the best of food, pizza and everything else. He had the best of food and the poor man ate the crumbs that fell on the floor. And he didn't have good clothes, he had soles and things like that. Rich man despised the poor man. He lived in comfort, wealth. He went to hell. But the poor man Lazarus went to hell, went to paradise. In paradise, wow, he was comforted. See how much little life you live on earth compared to eternity? It's just small little time that you're here. And the rich man said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water that cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I'm tormented in this flame. Please, just a little water to cool my tongue. Wow. That means there are no fans, air conditions, iced tea, cokes, refrigerators in hell. Nothing. It's not a, hell is not for a little while. It's for eternity. Yes, many are saying to Christ, no, thank you. A day will come that they will die. And they will experience the torment of hell forever and ever in eternity. Wow. No, thank you. Back to Ephesians, verse 12. That the time we were without Christ, then it says here, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers to the covenants. And if you go to the very beginning in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 1, it says here, Genesis chapter 12, call Abraham. And Abraham did not know God, but God called him out of darkness. And God made a covenant with Abraham. It's amazing. It shows the grace of God to an unworthy sinner like Abraham. And God said in Genesis 12:1, and the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family. His family was worshipping idols, by the way. And from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who blesses you. And here we see how the calling of Abraham. And you see as you read more scripture, God promised Abraham. That God gave a covenant to Abraham. And God had a covenantal agreement with Abraham. And there was a promise in the covenant. What is the promise in the covenant? I see there are three promises in the covenant. The one is to Abraham, here specifically, is the land. God told Abraham, I'm going to give you a land. Let me ask you a question. Did Abraham ever see that land? No. The only land he saw was his burial ground that he was buried. Then you cannot count the stars of the sky. Even if you look at a very clear day, the Milky Way. The Milky Way is like a cloud. So much stars. It's like a white cloud. You cannot count the stars. So Abraham, the descendants of Abraham are going to be like the stars, the cloud, and like the sands of the seashore, where you cannot count how many sands are there. It's countless. What a promise. Did Abraham see that? No, he didn't. And the other promise is the blessing. I'm going to bless you. That's the promise of the Messiah. Did Abraham see that blessing? No. Now, the blessing came about 2,000 years later when a poor young woman, Mary. God, like this is after about 2,000 years later, the blessing came. Wow. Just imagine God's timetable, huh? To Abraham. Abraham, you're going to be blessed. Going to be a blessing coming through you. Really? Where's the blessing? That's how we are, right? Where's the blessing? How long do I have to wait? You're going to get a child. Where is he? I've been here for about 20, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Man, I'm getting old. Almost 100 years. God said, you're going to have a child. Then Sarah laughs. How can this be? And she started laughing. God said, call him Isaac. The name of Isaac is what? Laughter. Because Sarah laughed. Now, the blessing is going to come through Isaac and all the way through the seed. The Messiah is going to come. Abraham never saw that. Well, 2,000 years later, this is God's timetable. For God, just 1,000 years is like one day to him. For God's time, 2,000, 2 days have gone. Maybe I should send the Messiah. Okay. So here, Mary. She said in Luke chapter 1 verse 53, if you turn with me to Luke 1:53, fill the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Wow. She remembered. This is a fulfillment of what God. The covenant. how we didn't have the covenant, did we? How if you and I were born in the Old Testament time? Where would you be? When we were excluded from Israel without hope and without God, the word without God means, you know the Greek word for that? Without God? I'm sure, I'm positive you know this Greek word? The word without God? Atheist. That's what it means in Greek. Without God, atheist. We were atheists before. That's why Paul tells us, remember, you are an atheist. Without God. Luke chapter 2 verse 23 and Luke chapter 2 verse 22. Remember, this is during the time of purification, how they took Jesus to the temple to be presented and offer sacrifice according to what is said in the law. And verse 25 says, and behold, there was a man